Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. Today, we have a really interesting guest coming up in the second part of our program. In fact, I'm going to pull back on some of the other commentaries after our health and nutrition, environmental, and public health segment, because Dane Wingington, a geoengineering scientist with a background in solar energy, highly regarded as one of the foremost experts and commentators on stratospheric aerosol geoengineering and solar radiation management. The topic, geoengineering, heading towards a planetary catastrophe in the years ahead. This is a program you will not hear elsewhere. It's absolutely essential you listen to it. In our health and nutrition segment today, ways that you can reduce cancer, the health benefits of beetroot, the newest study on chocolate, and what are we putting into our babies' bodies. Plus today, from our public health segment, the newest study, it's shocking. 1 in 50 kids has autism in the U.S., according to the CDC. That's 1 in 50. Wow. Why? We'll share that insight with you. Also, a letter today from Jim Gottstein. He is an attorney, and he has something to say about Bowling for Columbine. And he is the Law Project for Psychiatric Rights, and we'll share that. Also today, from our environmental segment, how clean is America's drinking water? When you turn on the tap, you're expecting anywhere in every municipality to drink clean water, safe water, healthy water. Is that the case? Well, the American Society of Civil Engineers just gave us a report card. And we'll take a look in depth at that. One final report on our 10-year anniversary from Robert Shear from TruthDig.com. Dumb Wars, Now and Forever, a short commentary. Oh, and also the lawyer who represented Daniel Ellsberg in the New York Times, part of that team, he says that Obama is more dangerous and worse than Nixon. We'll hear about that from Glenn Greenwald. Let's begin. We have been led to believe that if we want to prevent cancer, we simply have to not smoke and don't get a whole lot of sunlight. And that's it. Those seem to be the only two things that they're telling people that are important. Of course, we know why they're telling us that, because where their money comes from, the official information sources, and all those dances and marches and walks for the cancer cure. Of course, none of that prevents any cancer, and it's frequently funded behind the scenes by the very chemotherapy makers that profit every time someone gets cancer. So what can we do to actually prevent cancer? This is from Northwestern University School of Medicine. Here's what it says. This is published in the peer-reviewed journal Circulation. I'll quote this. We were gratified to know adherence to the life's simple seven goals was also associated with reducing the incidence of cancer, said the professor at the University Feinberg School of Medicine. Here are their seven steps. One, eating physically active, being physically active, keeping a healthy weight, eating a healthy diet, maintaining a healthy cholesterol, keeping blood pressure down, regulating your blood sugar levels, and not smoking. That's all good information. Of course, now, the problem is it's in the details. If you ask the average American eating in a fast food restaurant, chomping on some pork or sausage or French fries, is that healthy? They say, yeah, I'm getting my protein, I'm getting my carbohydrates. So the average person doesn't really know what a healthy diet is because the average American has probably in their whole life never had any consistently healthy food. For those of us who understand what we're actually eating, we would never consider any of the average American dietary habits healthy. Exercise. The average child in the United States needs about 7 minutes of physical activity a day. They're not getting that in 24 hours. So exercising means exercising 1 hour aerobically a day, 6 days a week. Keeping a healthy weight is absolutely crucial. The trouble is crash diets will not achieve that. And losing weight around your belly is a good way of starting, but the only way you're going to do that is change your metabolism. Just remember this. The fat on your thighs, the fat on your belly, the fat on your buttock, the fat on your upper back and your arms does not belong to the muscle tissue where it's at. So the fat on the belly doesn't belong to the belly. So you could do 10 million sit-ups and you're not going to burn any of that belly fat up. It belongs to your metabolism. So how do you get rid of it? Simple. You increase your metabolism. That's why power walking, biking, jogging, and swimming for an hour a day changes your metabolism. So even when you're sleeping, you're burning about 10% more calories than you normally would. And that is a big deal. That means at the end of a week, if you do nothing else, by just exercising, you will have lost about a pound, and that's good. But if you correct the caloric intake and get rid of all the junk foods, you'll lose about 2 pounds a week. And of course, maintaining healthy cholesterol, already I believe that the bar has been set too low. Therefore, I believe a healthy cholesterol should be between 125 and 150, not between 200 and 250. Also, we could regulate our blood sugar much more easily by just getting rid of sugar. So it's good information, it's just it's too vague for the average person. Now, here's something that's very specific. It's called beetroot. Beetroot. Now, there's a lot of good news on beetroot. It will lower your blood pressure. That's good. We got about 65 million Americans that need that. And it also can prevent cancer. That's also good. A study done at Queen Mary University in London showed a correlation between daily intake of beetroot juice and near immediate drops in blood pressure. So we're talking about 500 grams. So you're talking about one glass, let's say a 12-ounce glass of beet grass juice, and you can drop your blood pressure almost immediately. Good news there. In addition, we find that beetroot is rich in what is called beta-sinin, which has been found to slow the growth of tumors by 12.5% in patients with prostate and breast cancer. Again, that's a big deal, all by itself and with nothing else. And many cancer patients were dubbed cancer-free once they went on the beetroot juice program protocols. It also helps boost your digestive health. A high-fiber diet counts importantly, and beetroot and beetroot juice are prime choices. Fiber helps to promote digestion and helps cleanse the bad bacteria out. This is from a study. Quote, beetroot is high in fiber, and a 100-gram portion, about two or three small beetroots, contain 10% of your fiber requirements to help regulate bowel movements. It also contains a substance called betaine, which normalizes stomach acid secretion, and it helps with stamina. Now, as a competitive athlete, anything that can help with stamina is important. So by having some beetroot juice prior to a workout, it'll help you. It'll help feed the mitochondria. Next up is chocolate. Now, of course, ideally I'm talking about organic, fair trade, non-GMO chocolate. I'm not talking about milk chocolate, but rather natural organic and the best of best raw chocolate. And if it's sweetened, all right, let it be sweetened with palm sugar, which has a low glycemic index, and or stevia or xylitol. Those are all natural. This is the latest from a major study, and here's what it says. Could chocolate make you smarter? While it may not increase your IQ, it could stave off cognitive decline. This is according to researchers at the University of L'Aquila in Italy. The scientists have contributed to a growing body of research that indicates chocolate is more than a comforting food that could also have dramatic health benefits. Quote from the study. For the first time, regular cocoa flavanol consumption has been shown to positively affect cognitive function in older adults with early memory decline. End quote. That was the study's lead author, director of geriatric division at the university. Researchers tested the effects of chocolate consumption on a group of 90 older adults with mild cognitive decline, and they found that it made a big difference. So that's why I believe that having, I would say, 2 or 3 ounces a day of organic chocolate would be really terrific for people, because that's just the brain. It also helps your heart. It helps thin the blood. It helps prevent stroke. It helps the arteries. It's just good all the way around. So organic chocolate, terrific for you. This is from Green Med Info, Heidi Stevenson, and it says, failing our weakest newborns, poisoning with aluminum. Quote, in this first report from the Kiel Conference on the Biological Effects of Aluminum, we learn that the weakest among us, premature newborns and sickly elderly, are being poisoned with aluminum through their nutrition. The FDA aluminum limits are routinely ignored, while this problem, known for 30 years, continues unabated. The weakest newborns are fed through intravenous. That is, they receive nutrition intravenously because they're unable to eat. In spite of FDA guidelines, these most helpless of infants are receiving a massive dose of aluminum, a toxic metal with no place in human metabolism. Research demonstrates that these guidelines are universally flouted in a shocking degree, leaving the weakest among us to live with a highly toxic burden of aluminum. Then it goes on to talk about that aluminum is in there, and we're not paying attention to it. But here's what you should know, for all of you who thought, ah, good, they got the mercury out of most vaccines, not the flu vaccine. Yeah, but they left the aluminum in. Aluminum is a toxin, and exposure at any level is bad to the bone. Quote from the CDC's own website, the classical type of neurotoxicity results from chronic oral aluminum exposure and is characterized by a gradual onset of neurobehavioral disorders and eventually death. These neurological effects have been observed in adults and children, and plasma levels limiting aluminum exposure in uremic persons, for example, the use of aluminum-free dialysates and aluminum-free phosphate binding agents essentially eliminates these neurotoxic effects, end quote. But it's in these formulas, and as a result, we're giving them to our kids. So for parents out there, if you have a premature baby, and if it's going to be fed a formula intravenous, make sure that you read the label. Make sure you do not allow anything with aluminum in it. And a lot of senior citizens who don't have teeth or can't chew or being fed with a peg, make sure that there's no aluminum or glucose or sucrose or high fructose, which they normally put in there. Now, seven powerful emergency herbal remedies. And this was shared by Jonathan Benson of Natural News. We thank him for this. This is because we all need our own home medicine cabinet, emergency kit. Now, I have one. I have one in my office here on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I have one in my home in Florida. So wherever I travel, I have a little kit. I have a shaving kit, and I have to put all my, like my own mouthwash, I have to put in a little bottle lower than 3 ounces because it'll get taken by TSA and thrown away if you take shampoo. So I just take smaller bottles. By the way, if you haven't seen it up on YouTube and someone sent it to me yesterday, there is a fellow going through an airport, an African-American male, and he gets the, he chooses to have the, you know, instead of going through the screen with the, as I do, I never allow them to x-ray me. Instead, I say, I'll take a pat down. All right, so they get you aside and they do the pat down, no problem. But this man, when they're patting him down, he's got his arms out and they had his belt off. His pants start to slip down about 4 or 5 inches. He has underwear on, and they keep patting him down. And in a very civil manner, he asks, you know, are you finished yet? Well, they didn't like that, so they arrest him for, guess what? Indecent exposure in a public place. And then when he asked them why, oh, they add on also that that he was arguing. Now imagine, they tell you to take your belt off, you do, your pants slip down a few inches, you ask them, are they finished, and they arrest you for public indecency. That is the mindset of TSA. Anyhow, here is what you should have for your emergency kit. Here are the seven items. Arnica. Arnica, A-R-N-I-C-A. Why? Because it's good for cuts, wounds, bruises, and any type of external injury. It's extremely good for you. It's a homeopathic remedy, and it's been used for decades. It also helps soothe muscles, reduces inflammation, and heals wounds. You can even brew it as a tea if you get the Arnica Montana. Then we have Eupatrium, which is also known as Bone Set, Eupatorium. It's also good, and it's a great remedy for influenza and for treating aches and pains and fever. Then you have a form of comfrey, Symphytum, Symphytum. It's excellent as a first aid. According to some University of Maryland Medical Center, it contains a substance known as allantoin, which helps new skin cells grow. And so it's good for healing pulled muscle, ligaments, fractures, sprains, strains, and osteoarthritis. Aloe vera. Of course, we all know that aloe vera is one of the most beneficial things we can put into our body. It's a natural analgesic. It's used topically on cuts and scrapes and burns and sunburns and insect bites. In fact, just recently I had a really severe sunburn because I'd been traveling for so many weeks and virtually getting no sun. And then one day I go for a run for 2 hours and I got a little burn. Out comes the aloe vera, massage the aloe vera in, and sunburn goes away. Of course, you take some vitamin C also, but it's also good for insect bites. And you can take it internally as well. It's great for the intestine. And then you have hyssop, H-Y-S-S-O-P. Hyssop is one of the oldest herbs used in all of nature. It's a cleansing herb. It is an expectorant, meaning it helps you clear your passageways of phlegm and secretions. It's antiviral. I suggest people who have a sore throat and not sure whether it's bacterial or viral, and frequently can be viral, that you take some hyssop tea, add in about 20 drops of colloidal silver, add in about 10 drops of wild oregano oil, add in about 1,000 milligrams of olive leaf extract, a quarter teaspoon of vitamin C, and then a pinch of crude bee propolis with some Manuka honey, stirred around. Never drink any beverage hot. Always have it lukewarm. And then sip that for about an hour. That will do a great deal of good for your sore throat, or if you're getting the flu or a cold, and you'll see about an hour later you'll start to hack up some of the mucus and the phlegm that's loaded with bacteria, but it really kills viruses. And also you can use it as a poultice, hyssop, and for cuts and abrasions and sores and skin wounds. And tea made from the flowers is really good for breathing problems. It's really good for your lungs. And then cayenne. Cayenne contains the active ingredient capsicum. Cap, C-A-P, Si, S-I, cum, C-U-M, capsicum. And it's extremely good for your circulation. It's great for your heart. It thins your blood. And it's also good for stopping excessive bleeding. You can take it orally, of course, and that's where it does most of the good. Really good for circulation. And then the purple coneflower. Of course, we know it as echinacea. It's one of the most popular and commonly used herbs throughout the world, and it's grown right here in the United States. It used to be used, where I grew up, they had echinacea for poisonous spiders like the brown reclusive spider and snake bites. But you can use it for sore throats, ear infections, all types of lymphatic problems. It's good. So those are the seven remedies you should always have on the hand in your home. And while we're at it, the eight foods that will help you fight allergies, since we're going into the spring allergy season, and these are from a new documentary that I'm working on. So I just wanted to share these with you. Top of my list would be a combination of whole grapefruit, meaning the skin, the pulp, it's going to be a little bitter, and the lemon and lime all together. You can sweeten it with some raw organic honey. That's terrific for you, a glass of that. Also, having a bowl of red grapes. That's good also. Then broccoli is good for allergies because of the sulfur in it. And collard greens are also good. They're rich in carotenoids, and that helps ease allergic reactions. And in the South, where I grew up, collard greens are just, well, they're just common. Everybody has them all the time. Generally, they cook them down there in an unhealthy way. They'll put lots of pork in there, and they cook it together. But I always like it with black-eyed peas. So you prepare black-eyed peas and collard greens, and you can dice some tempeh. For those of you, in fact, there's a seasoned tempeh that tastes like pork, but it's not. For those in your family that may want a transitional food, so they think they're eating something unhealthy, and they're actually eating something very healthy. Also, the nuts. Nuts are really good. They're very rich in magnesium. They're a good source of vitamin E, and they help with asthma. And I'm talking about pistachios, almonds, walnuts. Apples are just phenomenal for people because they have quercetin, which is a flavonoid, and that's effective against inflammation, and that is part of why you get allergies. And the peel of the apple is the richest source. It's loaded in polyphenols, so if you just peeled four or five apples and put them in a blender and drank that down during allergy season, that would be terrific for you. Also, for those of you who consume fish, the anti-inflammatory properties, the omega-3 fatty acids in fish is very good. And then I've saved my best two anti-allergy remedies for last, and that is raw onions and slightly cooked garlic, lightly cooked garlic. You have those two together, and I do it in a baked potato. I bake my potato, and I always coat the baked potato skin with coconut oil. That keeps the skin from burning. That's where my alpha lipoic acid is. And then I cook it at a lower temperature. Most people think you have to go way up to 450 degrees to bake a potato. Not true. You can do it at a low temperature, so you maintain the nutrients. You don't kill anything. And you protect it with the olive, coconut oil. Then when you open it up, and then I saute, lightly saute shiitake mushrooms with mirin, a nice seasoning, and put in the different peppers I like. And then I put in raw chopped up onion, smother it with olive oil and some black pepper and some Himalayan pink sea salt. What a great way. Great dish, filling, and helps you with allergies. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and nutrition. I'm going to jump over and do our discussion on environmental issues before we go to our other issues and take a break, because I'm going to give a little extra time for our guest today. This is from the Environmental News Network. I'll quote it verbatim. We'll post this article now. It's called "The U.S. Drinking Water. How safe is it?" Quote, "The water system, especially in our older cities, has been around for a long time, being patched and repaired. The American Society of Civil Engineers and its members are committed to protecting the health, safety, and welfare of the public, and as such are equally committed to improving the nation's public infrastructure. To achieve that goal, they have recently issued a report card on the condition and performance of the nation's infrastructure. They are experts at how it's done, and they give the American system a D. At the dawn of the 21st century, much of our drinking water infrastructure is nearing the end of its useful life. There are an estimated 240,000 water main breaks per year in the United States. The quality of drinking water in the United States remains universally high, even though pipes and mains are frequently more than 100 years old and in need of replacement. Outbreaks of disease attributable to drinking water are rare." And so the bottom line here is that we have a lot of problems. We have an ancient system, and the system ranks a D. And what would it take to repair our entire infrastructure in the United States, meaning everything, our roads, gas, water, dams, reservoirs, bridges, tunnels? $3.3 trillion. Well, hold on, that's how much we spent in the Iraq and Afghan war, yes. But we didn't spend it here, and we didn't get anything for spending it over there. By the way, a special thank you to Trader Joe's and Aldi and the other stores who just said no to genetically modified salmon. So they have said no. They're part of a campaign for GM free seafood. So the consumers are overwhelmingly rejecting GMOs, even if the FDA conspires with biotechnology companies to try to push it before the American public. So we support a GMO free America, at the very least labeling. And as we speak today, we are working with more than 27 grassroots campaigns in 27 states to get referendum on the ballot so the citizens of these states can say whether they want their food that is genetically modified to be labeled or not. And it looks like Maine and Vermont are most likely at this moment to pass such legislation. All it takes is one state to pass, and then the whole momentum works against them. So by saying no, the stores are big stores, are saying no, they're not going to sell it. That's good news. We're very happy about that. Now, one other thing on our public health part of our program. This is mainstream medicine. This is medical news today, and this is from the CDC. Quote, 1 in 50 school-age kids has autism. The findings are astonishing. And so tomorrow on this program, we are going to do a two-hour special. Please let people know about it. I have scientists and physicians flying in from around the United States. We will be holding forth here in our studios, New York City. We'll be getting people to call in two straight hours. And we're going after Gardasil. And we're going after Alec and the state legislators who allow themselves to meet with Alec in secret to be handed Alec's, which is the American Legislative Exchange Council. It's a group of 300 plus of the largest corporations in America that have been for 40 years secretly creating bills that become laws to protect their interest and hurt us. So we're going after Alec. We're asking people to boycott all Alec corporations. We'll name them tomorrow. And also, we're asking you for a recall of any politician in any state legislator. That's over half of all state legislators in America who've met regularly with Alec and then gone back and sponsored bills that did not represent the interests of the public. Now, these legislators are too sophisticated, they're too smart not to know that they were selling their soul to this corporate monomoth complex for campaign contributions, for favors, and all done in secret. So you should know who are your legislators who sold out, and also who didn't. That's good. That'll all be on tomorrow, but most importantly, why the biggest public health fraud in vaccination has been Gardasil. No one should get Gardasil. Everything you've heard about Gardasil is a lie. Everything. Tomorrow, we will hear from some of the world's leading immunologists, vaccinologists, board-certified pediatricians, and scientists. It will be a historic, hopefully, important, and informative 2 hours. That's tomorrow. Back in a moment with a very important guest. And let people know right now that if they didn't know about geoengineering and cloud seeding and chemtrails and HARP, they will. And I'll extend the rest of the program to him. Back in a moment. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Yes, baby. Ooh, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Ooh, baby, I needed the shelter of someone's arms.
We here at PRN would like to share some more good news with our listeners today. In the past 2.5 years, our podcasting service, Podbean, has registered a total of over 42 million hits for The Gary Null Show. That's just one of the ways we are reaching listeners across the globe, and we'd like to thank you for helping us to grow into the number one show for empowerment of progressive minds.
Just saw those figures today. 42 million downloads. That's just one of many services that download the show and share it. So there is a big audience there, and we thank you for sharing this. Keep in mind, we've never had a publicist, an article, a story, nothing. All this, and we're now officially number one in the world on progressive radio or on internet radio stations. Thousands, tens of thousands. So, number one in the world on internet and number one progressive radio program for independent progressive minds anywhere. So, we thank you for listening. Now, also, I'm sorry, but we're out of the book Joy Juicing. We have no more copies. Jeremy purchased 200 copies while I was away. Those are all gone, and we're not getting any more. So, if you'd like a copy of the new book, my brand new book, The Joy of Juicing, you can go to Amazon and get it there. but we don't have any more that we can offer you. Let's say hello to Dane Wigington, W-I-G-I-N-G-T-O-N, a geoengineering scientist with a background in solar energy, and who is one of the foremost experts and commentators on stratospheric aerosol geoengineering and solar radiation management. He also was a former employee of Bechtel Corporation, though we won't hold that against him, and worked on the first commercial solar plant in the United States. He is a climate researcher, and he's studied the issue of geoengineering and chemtrails for over a decade, and he's also featured in Michael Murphy's new documentary, which I just watched, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And he hosts the information website Geoengineering Watch. Nice to have you with us today.
Hello, Gary. Thanks for addressing this this issue and giving us a chance to update.
Well, I'm concerned that most people are simply not aware of all this. And you were on our program, I guess, about a year ago on a Monday evening on a Progressive Commentary Hour. And we talked about what we're not aware of. And today, I'd like for you to take us on a layperson's understanding of what it means to have our environment, the world around us, adversely affected by what we're doing. People have not heard of HAARP, and if they had, they don't really know what it is. So I want you to talk about HAARP and define what ionospheric heating is and what it's used for, and also some of the health issues related to compounds like aluminum and barium and strontium being the main ones from chemtrails. And then the whole idea of geoengineering as weapons of mass destruction, something the mainstream media will not touch, and to create situations so severe for an enemy by destroying crops or resources, thereby destabilizing the population without actually having to drop bombs on them or invade them. There are many ways to fight an enemy. And when our sulfur compounds used in geoengineering start to impact us, people are unaware of this. The depletion of our soil, increasing the soil pH in California from 5.6 to 20 times more alkaline in 5 or 6 years, contributing to mass death of plants and trees. It's happening all around us. People are simply seeing the phenomena, but no one's explaining how it's happening. So therefore, take your time. I will not interrupt you. Give us the full view from beginning, a middle, and an end so people really understand this. The form is yours.
I'll make this as simple as possible. Geoengineering is literally the attempt to re-engineer all of Earth's natural life support systems from the climate down. And life on Earth exists because of these systems. And to think that for these people to feel that they could manipulate these systems and more or less play God with the planet's natural mechanisms is folly of the first order. So geoengineering in this case refers to the attempt to control the climate systems with toxic metal particulates and chemicals, some of which are known, some are unknown. The data right now, Gary, indicates that what we know it's being damaged is absolutely cataclysmic. From the microbes in the atmosphere that science is only beginning to learn about that are a huge part of the climate system, they're being toxified from the sky down. The entire web of life is being decimated by these systems. They sterilize soils, as you mentioned. We're seeing massive boreal forest die-off. This is the boreal forests are the terrestrial lungs of the planet, the ocean being the other part of that equation for oxygen production. So we have a virtual decimation of all Earth's natural systems. The climate now is anything but natural. And the global dimming situation, another term most people aren't familiar with, fully 20% of the sun's direct rays are no longer reaching the surface of the planet. No sun, no life. And these particulates are certainly the largest single cause. Yes, pollution is a factor, but we believe a very small factor in comparison to geoengineering. The purpose stated for geoengineering is to block the sun. So in doing this, they thwart the weather patterns. The geoengineering particulates are shredding the ozone layer. We know that. Absolutely. The science is clear on that. People can look this up. I don't want anybody to believe anything I'm saying. So we have a massive northern hemisphere ozone hole now. In addition to the southern hemisphere ozone hole, no ozone, no life on Earth. We have every breath we take is laden with these materials. Whether you see a big trail in the sky above you or not is irrelevant. These particulates are there. They're scattered around the whole planet, again, enough to block 20% of the sun. And we know there's aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, and certainly other particulates are there too, but we're not always sure what we're looking for as these experiments seem to be ongoing. We see as of yesterday, statistics released now on mainstream media that 1 in 3 seniors dies with Alzheimer's or dementia. These are staggering figures, and we believe directly connected to the bombardment of heavy metals from these programs. We see also yesterday released autism, 1 in 50 children now. These are absolutely staggering statistics, and mainstream media, as you alluded to, does not acknowledge the elephant in the room that is absolutely the primary causal factor for these astounding accelerations of these degenerative diseases. In fact, the only thing they tried to grab for was perhaps grandparents that were too old when they had kids, which might account for 1 or 2% of these increases, and so they ignore the other 98% probability from these programs. So, again, as we see soil sterilized, wind patterns changed, hydrological cycles changed, crop production now is going down. We see the protracted drought in the continental U.S. that most are aware of, even though they Weather Channel and other corporate media outlets try to disseminate that we're having some ferocious winter. We're, in fact, in protracted drought still in much of the crop production areas of the country. And in relation to crops, we have Norwegian and German researchers contacting us, Gary, that have now told us that their studies are indicating that there is horizontal gene mutation taking place in all plant organisms from the absorption of these particulates.
Explain what a horizontal gene translation is.
Now, this is a term that they are more familiar with than I. This is their area of expertise, but bottom line is that these particulates, because they are bioavailable and absorbed by all organisms, including us, that it is mutating the natural genetic code of plants. So there is no organic anything at this point. And as far as how much we're absorbing, I just spoke to a Norwegian researcher yesterday who has just had his blood cleansed in a very specialized high-tech process that's not available to all. This is done in a major medical facility in Germany. The material taken out of his blood, he has recovered and tested, and it's he was 11 times above the top of the bracket limit for aluminum, 15 times for barium. I mean, it's absolutely off the charts. So we are certainly all absorbing the same materials, and at a certain point, our systems shut down. So although there's a tremendous amount of issues right now facing us all that we could occupy our time with, quite simply, if you can't walk out the door and breathe without sucking in a lung full of heavy metals, and this is a very cumulative and degenerative effect, we have a fight literally for life, a fight of the first order.
Okay, let's back it up a bit. Let's start by saying, how did all this get into the air? Talk about chemtrails. What is their purpose? Why are they doing this? And what proof do you have that the chemtrails have polluted major areas of the country?
Yeah, I got the cart before the horse there a little bit. Now, back to geoengineering. The atmospheric modification programs involve the disbursement of these materials from jet aircraft. And again, there are probably a number of purposes for this, some military strategic, and others just to perhaps control food supplies and so forth. We could go into that onion quite a ways, but this... the aircraft dispersal of these particulates, we have numerous patents that describe this express goal, to create solar obscuration. The express goal of geoengineering on most patents is to block some of the sun, exactly what we see happening, to slow runaway warming. The paradox is we have data now, including from NASA, that indicates that although the geoengineering can and does create large-scale cooling events, like we see happening right now across the northern tier of the U.S., it comes at the cost of a worsened overall warming because it deflects sun, yes, but it traps radiant heat also and completely decimates the natural cycle. So it doesn't accomplish what the geoengineering patents say it's going to accomplish. As far as confirming that this is going on, we know this. You have government officials like John Holdren, Obama's science advisor, openly advocating for these programs. You have groups like scientific groups, the Arctic Methane Emergency Group, scientists calling for immediate wartime-scale geoengineering to be done to avert planetary catastrophe from climate feedback loops that have now been triggered. And the paradox there, again, is it appears that geoengineering is a major causal factor in triggering these Earth-threatening climate feedback loops. So again,
explain what, again, pull back for a moment, because I guess you're so familiar with the material, Dane, that you don't realize we are not. So please give us first the progenitor. Give us the foundation, your basic argument. Explain what this catastrophic feedback loop is, how it manifests, and what it could do, and why we are unaware of it. Tell us about that.
I'll try to slow down because I know I am very immersed in this data. The bottom line is when you tamper with these natural systems, one, they're ripping the planet's atmosphere apart, two, poisoning everything on the ground, and three, disturbing, again, Earth's natural systems that when you disturb wind currents, as these spray disbursements do, that disturbs ocean currents. The ocean currents now are diverting warm water straight into the Arctic. That is thawing frozen methane on the seafloor. It's called methane hydrate. And that methane now is releasing into the atmosphere. And that's going to change the chemistry of our atmosphere to such a degree that we are literally going to be on a very different planet in very short order. This appears to have already been triggered. So the longer they spray, the worse our situation will become. So
Explain when you say worse. Explain when you see this happening, where it would get to a critical point where it would tip, and what do you see happening if someone were to walk outside or someone were to be in a northern latitude versus a southern latitude? Tell us what impact it would have on them. How would it manifest?
It manifests because when methane releases, it's 100 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. So it's like covering the Earth with a layer of glass. The sun's thermal energy comes in, but it doesn't get out. And we are seeing the indications of that already happening with Arctic temperatures. Although there's some cold temperatures across the northern tier of the U.S. again right now, and it appears to be from jet stream manipulation from HARP, as you already alluded to, which can manipulate jet stream patterns. It's the second most extreme jet stream ever recorded right now. That's causing record warmth in Greenland. So this methane is causing massive climate disruption in conjunction with the geoengineering. So again, the temperatures on the planet will rise. This is not about Al Gore or climate credits. This is hard reality on the ground. So in addition to poisoning our air, shredding our natural ozone layer and Earth's natural systems, toxifying soils, it is also disrupting ocean currents, which are now releasing the methane I expressed, and it's quite a negative scenario. In fact, Gary, it's termed, well, the path we are on right now is termed Venus syndrome, and what that implies is you have feedback loops that feed on themselves. As the methane releases, it warms the planet. As the planet warms, it releases yet more methane, and this feeds on itself until there's a runaway event that cannot be stopped, and that is the track we are on.
And what would happen with a runaway event?
On a runaway event, and again, people should look this up. I don't want anybody to take my word for anything. Venus syndrome implies that a runaway warming event occurs when these feedback loops, fuel themselves until the warming is so intense that oceans begin to vaporize and the atmosphere becomes more heavy and more dense, thus trapping yet more heat until no life on Earth exists. That's Venus syndrome. And to put that into perspective, Venus, the very premise of geoengineering, to create a higher albedo for Earth, a greater reflectivity to deflect some of the sun, is completely flawed because Venus has a very reflective atmosphere, and yet Venus is 900 degrees on the surface. Venus absorbs less of the sun's thermal energy than Earth. People don't know this, but there are many other factors to sustaining life than just an albedo.
Where do you see us currently in this, and can you explain some of the phenomena to show that it's actually happening now, the impact of geoengineering?
I can, and if people would remember last March how hot it was in the continental U.S. There was 15,232 records broken. So these are the beginnings of severe climate lurching from these feedback mechanisms I'm speaking of. The geoengineers this March appear to be using every card they have to try to erase people's memories of these extreme temperatures. So the climate is lurching from one extreme to another. Geoengineering is fueling that and making the whole situation worse by the day. Right now, no matter what else happens, if geoengineering stopped and the damage to the planet stopped, we are still in for a very different planet, period. And as they sterilize soils, as you already mentioned, in the boreal forest die-off, if that is allowed to continue, Earth's oxygen content is beginning to plummet. And this, in urban areas now, some of the oxygen content is seen as low as 12%. And this is extremely detrimental to the human organism.
And what ideally would you suggest it should be?
The norms for the modern human era were in the 20-21% range, and you know it's right. In some of the rural forested areas now it's still in the high teens, but it's plummeting. Period. So,
okay, let's go over to a very nefarious operation called HAARP. HAARP. Tell us about the government's HAARP program and how that fits into geoengineering, and define the ionospheric heating and how that is going to impact us as well.
An ionosphere heater, and that's what the HAARP facilities are, that we believe there's as many as 18 around the globe right now, Gary. And this is an extremely powerful radio frequency antenna. It transmits, it does not receive, and it sends about 2 billion watts into the ionosphere. That causes a chain reaction, which heats the ionosphere as much as 15,000 degrees Fahrenheit over an area hundreds of square miles. This causes a bulge in the atmosphere, and this steers the jet stream. And that's exactly what we see happening, is jet stream manipulation. So, again, this is yet one more method by which they are ripping apart Earth's natural systems, trying to control them, and doing nothing but damage. And in addition, the HAARP signals can affect all of us, Gary. And now our bodies are quite literally more conductive because of the absorption of these metal particulates. So we are much more susceptible to radio frequency antennas, including cell towers, cell phones, and so forth. And this is very well documented. We just posted an article from Will Thomas on this on geoengineeringwatch.org, our website. So all these things interact. All of them are interconnected. All of them have a synergistic negative effect. And so all of them are part of geoengineering. Again, the manipulation of Earth's natural climate systems, but all at horrific effect.
Who's behind this and what is their motive?
We know that there's NATO countries involved. We know that there's military documents like owning the weather. People can look this up online. So the military strategic purposes, that however advantageous it might be militarily, it's going to come at the cost of a planet that does not support life if it continues. We have competing powers now involved, Russia and China. So literally weather warfare. And this tug of war over the atmosphere will, if it continues, exterminate life on Earth. We are literally in that track. The species extinction rate today, the most recent figures show it approaching 200 species a day are being lost. This is 10,000 times natural variability. We are in the sixth great mass extinction today. And this issue of geoengineering is something that everyone must help us bring to light so that those participating in these programs realize what they're a part of, and we hope and believe will refuse to participate. And I was recently told by a scientist from a major university that's involved with these programs that, in fact, this is starting to happen, that people are starting to defect from these programs because they are not the benign earth-saving programs they were told, but quite the opposite. So we believe that's the only way we're going to stop them, by raising awareness to the point where those participating refuse to participate.
Final question. What do you see happening, in what time frame, that could actually highlight the accuracy of your statements? Give us a forecast here.
Based on paleoclimatic data, the methane event alone is not a century-long event or a decade-long event, but a number of a few years. So I would say this, that I believe, based on what is occurring right now, the acidification of the ocean from the methane release and the saturation of the atmosphere from the methane, that by perhaps as early as the end of this year, the climate fluctuations and extremes will be so unignorable that they will not be able to hide this issue much longer. That we will see temperatures and extremes never before seen on the planet, and it will come at blinding speed. And I think even as early as the end of this year, Gary, that this issue will not be able to be hidden. And they will probably try to sell it to us as some sort of earth-saving event, but people should know it is anything but.
My final thought is that it could, theoretically, by this warming, it could be so severe that we throw Greenland and Antarctica into an extremely rapid melting phase. And that then could create a loop that cannot stop if that should happen. If instead of over 40 years, you get, let's say, a 20-foot rise in the water, instead you get it over 5 years or 10 years, you would end up having at least 43 of the world's largest cities and over 300 million people no longer be able to live in those environments. Would you agree or disagree with that analysis?
I completely agree. And to add credence to what you just said and to finish my forecast, the Arctic ice cap we have not had an ice-free Arctic for at least 3 million years and probably as much as 13 million years. We almost had an ice-free Arctic last year, and likely we will have an ice-free Arctic in the next 3 years. We were losing ice in the Arctic at 130,000 square kilometers of surface area a day at the end of the melt season last year. 130,000 kilometers a day. The scenario you just described is happening now. It's happening right now. And I would implore people to investigate this issue and help us bring it to light.
Well, you realize under the worst case scenario, if there was a massive meltdown because of environmental conditions, no one would be prepared for it. You would just have water expands as it's heated, and as this expanded warm water, think of all the cities, including New York City and Washington, D.C., where we're aired on our sister station, PFW, right now, they're listening, and Los Angeles, and up and down, clear around the United States. And that's just here. So we're talking about some very serious material. Dane, thank you for being on with us today. We appreciate it.
Gary, thank you.
My guest, Dane Wigington, a geoengineering scientist with a highly regarded because of his work as an expert in stratospheric aerosol geoengineering and solar radiation management. And he is a former scientist at Bechtel, and he is here to tell us the truth on this. His website is geoengineeringwatch.org. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Gary Nall. Now it's time for our talkback segment. Your time to call in. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We had a gentleman from Berkeley who I said I would give a little more time today. So if you're going to call now. In the interim, let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Wow, that was a good good blow to my mind. That's something, this whole information, all this information about the atmosphere. I'm getting a lot of emails from your audience in Detroit, and they all, on the title of the subject line of the email, they're saying, Gary was right, Gary was right. Detroiters pledge uprising during state takeover. Councilman Kwame Kenyatta and a packed room of Detroiters warned today of an impending revolt against state intervention, urging residents to stock up on canned food and supplies. Even the Bloods in the Hood fight for their territory, was the chant. And basically what they're telling people to do is you've got to start standing up and you've got to start fighting back, and they're talking about taking over City Hall. He's telling people that you're going to see a new civil rights movement, and he said, we're going to shut down freeways, we're going to disrupt the economic system, and he said, make sure you're prepared and you will survive. So far, the protests in Detroit have been nonviolent. For instance, demonstrators slowed traffic for a few miles on some of the interstate routes. But that's mild for what's to come, they're saying. So they said, didn't Gary talk about this over the last 2 to 3 years, and as recently as just a couple of months ago? Here it is. They're urging people to get up off the sidelines and start fighting for their rights.
It's going to happen. but they'll follow what they see in Greece, Portugal, Cyprus, and Italy. Italy is the big bear in the room. Italy has one of the largest debts in the world, about $6 trillion. That is why they're all concerned about what happens, because the people in Italy are compassionate for the people in Cyprus. And when the government was going to take money directly out of people's life savings and give it to the bankers, the people of Italy said, fight that. And the people in Cyprus unanimously said, no, you're not going to do this. That has set off a whole clarion call across all of Europe. All this should be watched because it portends what's happening here. Thanks a lot, Luann. Let's say hello to Harvey from Berkeley. Hi, Harvey. Your turn again.
Hi, Gary. Well, let's talk about water.
Yes.
America's coal-fired, oil-fired, natural gas, and nuclear power plants use as much water on a daily basis as our agricultural system, and the water is drawn from our rivers, lakes, oceans, and aquifers. And this is considered an externality by those industries. And at the same time, the CO2 produced by the oil, coal, natural gas, and nuclear industry is melting the snow caps on our mountaintops, which supplies our major source of freshwater resources, and melting the polar caps so as to create ocean rise. And people never talk about this, but once through power plants take water like the Diablo Canyon power plant here in California, they suck in and put out 2.5 billion, that's with a B, gallons of water a day to cool the plant as well as drive the steam generators. And I believe these once through coal, natural gas, nuclear, and oil-fired plants are heating up the oceans. The thousands of these plants are discharging the water 20 to 25 degrees hotter back into the oceans after use. So, and also at the same time, they grind up billions and billions of fish larvae, and they're diminishing our marine food supply. But the good news is that solar panels, once manufactured, use no water over the 25-year warranty of their life. So I say that if we want to preserve our natural water resources, that it's time to get star-powered. Let's get solar. Thanks, Gar.
Harvey, thank you very much. What's your background, Harvey? You seem to have some scholarship in your comments when you call in.
Well, my background is light. I seem to, my whole life is associated with light, so it's very natural for me to feel that solar energy is the way to go.
We appreciate it. Thank you. And Eric from New Jersey. Hi, Eric. Your turn.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for everything you're doing. Just wanted to remind everybody and ask you maybe if you could consider doing like a call to action every day for people to remember not to buy from the major corporations that are running this whole game on us in the world. Not to buy from them. Buy local. Buy from your, you know, fellow man. And you know, don't buy slave labor. Look at the little wear your shirt and wear your socks and wear your sneakers are made, and just make decisions. Maybe if you could consider doing like a call to action every day for people to remember that.
I appreciate the input, and you are absolutely correct, Eric. Thanks for reminding us. James from Queens. James, your turn.
Good afternoon, Gary. Gary, I was wondering, can you add some information about this UV radiation? Because in people in the summer going to be suntanning themselves, or
they're going to get a lot more burnt this year than ever
also,
before.
Would it be an effect of your eyesight?
Yes, it would.
I was wondering, being that the overcast sky clouds
that doesn't mean a thing. UV lights go right through clouds. All right, clouds do not protect you. Okay.
Thank you.
All the best, James. Let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Well, we had such a resounding reaction yesterday to the interview with Abraham Bolden that we decided to return to it today because we weren't able to accommodate the calls. There was the lines were all lit up, so we're going to proceed with that today.
We look forward to it. Utrice Lead coming now on the Progressive Radio Network.
with it.